Good afternoon, good evening. This is the ITO INGO Protections Policy Development Process Working Group call on the 7th of November. On the call today, we have Chuck Gomes, Wilson Abigaba, Brett Fawcett, Jonathan Robinson, Osvaldo Novoa, Lan Hayayashi, Ilya Bazanyakov, Jeff Newman, Christopher Rassi, David Mayer, Jing Bigoff, and Elizabeth Finger. From the staff, we have Brian Peck, Barry Cobb, Margie Millam, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. We have apologies from Mary Wong, Deborah Hughes, J. Scott Evans, Thomas Rickett, and Wolfgang Kleinwasser. I would like to remind you all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Everyone, welcome to the... This is a two-part call. The first part of the call, although everyone's welcome to listen in, the first part of this call is really dedicated to the drafting team to kind of finalize its work and to discuss the comments that were received on the proposals that the drafting team put out on September 28th. The comment period closed on October 19th, and then the reply period started on the 20th. And actually, the reply period closes on the 9th, but, we're going to discuss the comments that we've received, all with an eye towards making a recommendation to the GNSO Council for the meeting that's next week on Thursday. I want to say it's the 15th, so on Thursday the 15th. With all that said, just to kind of take a step back as to where we are in the process, as hopefully more people will join the call. We had recommended as a drafting team, so the drafting team was formed to guide or help advise the council on the proposals made from the GAC, specifically with respect to the Olympic Committee, the IOC, and the Red Cross, Red Crescent marks, although some other marks were discussed in connection with the drafting team. We limited the scope to really only helping to advise the council at both the top and second level. The drafting team did make a proposal at the top level that was recommended to the council. The council adopted it and then sent that to the board, and then the drafting team went to work on the second level. Out of the drafting team's work, the recommendations that came out of it, which are posted, were basically threefold. One is to recommend that an expedited TDP commence on the Olympic Committee, the IOC, and the Red Cross, Red Crescent marks. The second recommendation was to, people can put their phones on mute, that would help. The second recommendation was to have a temporary reservation of exact matches of the IOC Red Cross Red Crescent marks at the second level, listed in the guidebook in the 6 official U.S. languages. And the third recommendation really was about communicating our rationale to the GAC. First, just as by way of fact, the GNSO did adopt a PDP, which is obviously everyone knows that. That's why a lot of us are on this call, and that'll pick up the second half of this call. That real recommendation is probably moot right now, as the PDP has been initiated. So really what we're talking about now are the recommendations to have a temporary reservation of these marks until a PDP can be finalized. And then if anyone can go on mute, or if you have a question, just let me know. Does anyone have a question on that? Okay. So with respect to that, the draft recommendations went out for comment. There were some comments that were received, and Barry Cobb had circulated a what we call public comment review tool, which has all the comments that were received up through yesterday, where a new comment was submitted by the Olympic Committee, and maybe they can spend a minute talking about that after we go through these. But essentially, it covers all those comments, and we need to discuss those comments to see whether or not any of these comments provide any new information that would in any way get us to change our recommendation If not, then I've proposed a motion that I need to send to council today in order to get it on the agenda for next week's meeting. Any questions on where we need to go to, over the next 45 minutes? Okay. So a number of the comments, if you've looked through the review tool, some of it is actually a private, well, I wouldn't say private, but a more of a communication back and forth within the non-commercial constituency or stakeholder group. I can't remember which one. But some of those comments I don't think were actually meant for the public comment review. I don't know, Barry, if you want to comment on that. But, like, if you look at number 15 and 14 and 13 and so on, there are, and I don't even know, most of them, I would say, do relate to this internal conversation of what the non-commercial stakeholder group actually agreed to. So for the purposes of this call, and I really wish we had some people from the NCSG with us, I don't know if we do. Have any joined from the NCSG or NCEC?
Jeff, this is Barry. Just to clarify, comments 12 through 15 are actually just from the MPOC and weren't necessarily a part of the NCSG dialogue and their official position.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the clarification. They were internal. I think they were all meant for internal consumption within that group as opposed to, but they all got posted on the ICANN list. So I think for the most part, those can be ignored because there was no official communication from the the NPOC. And Barry, I don't know if we have the ability to scroll through these. Is there a way you can give us all the ability to scroll through the comments on our own?
I just flipped the switch.
All right, so if everyone wants to kind of flip those. Chuck, do you have a comment?
Yeah, just quickly, Jeff. If I skimmed through these comments this morning and I got the impression that Aubrey's comment was in response to Alan's. Did I get that correct, Barry? Or could you tell?
This is Barry. I think it's actually kind of a combination of both. Her comment starts at row number 7 on page 12 of the public comment tool. There was actually two comments submitted by Aubrey. The first was denoting the difference between the MPOC dialogue and the position for the NCSG. And then her second response is on page...
number 5, right? 5?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Number 5, starting on the bottom of page 8. And I think it was really more a restatement of the NCSG position more than a response to Alan.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, that was the impression I got. And in looking through the comments, I mean, you had Donuts file the comment that basically talked about what they are doing with respect to these marks. I'm not sure whether people... It didn't really call for a response on our part. It just really talked about what they are proposing to do. But, Barry, I mean, as you look through these, are there really any comments that the Aubrey's comment, as you said, was really the NCSG position, which they really discussed at length within the drafting team discussions. Are there any other discussions that you saw or comments that you saw that really need some sort of response from the drafting team?
This is Chuck, Jeff. It seems to me that several of them are really comments for the PDP more than they are comments for the recommendations of the drafting team. Did others get that same impression? Like, for example, the Red Cross comment, number 1, is very good input for the PDP for the most part, but I didn't see it impacting the decision of the recommendation to the council.
Right.
And Jeff, this is Barry. I would concur with that assessment. Pretty much most of the comments were related to the PDP or certainly restating a position that has been discussed amongst the drafting team members. Probably the only one that is a standout is the comment from Aubrey with respect to the recommendation number 2 and the possible moratorium or special reservation of the names. And perhaps we may want to spend a little time on that. But other than that, I don't think there was any substantial change or indication that would alter the recommendations that were posted by the drafting team.
Okay, so can you point to where in the comments, so it's comment number 5 then, and
her second paragraph, it starts at the top of page 9, whether it really starts at the beginning, but the substance is in paragraph 2.
Right, so basically there's a fear that, and Aubrey did express this during the drafting team consultations, that there's a fear that a temporary policy becomes permanent even if not intended, that basically sets a baseline, so the baseline would be that there's some sort of protection and it would be basically an uphill battle to overcome that. I think the drafting team did discuss that. They also say that it would be obviously it's problematic and that it didn't consider the position of the IGAs. It's only for these limited organizations. I'm trying to see if there's anything. She says there's no reason to rush, and she believes that the PDP can be done on time, and if not, well, then it would just apply to the next round. She then would like, just as she had said in the drafting team, that we abandon recommendations 2 and 3B. 3B really relates to communicating the decision to the GAC. Again, I don't see this as any new information that wasn't raised with the drafting team. The NCSG already did oppose the recommendations on the drafting team. So is there anyone that's on the drafting team, and welcome Alan for joining us. Is there anyone that's on the drafting team that, as a result of these comments, feels like there's more work that we should do or that they would not take the same position that they took before when we recommended these proposals? Okay, and I'll also note that Jay Scott, who is a member of the drafting team, on email supported the recommendations and going forward with them. I don't think there were, I'm just looking at my email now, I don't think there were any additional substantive comments on that. Kieran, did you want to just go over, or Jim, if you're now on, do you want to just go over the comment you filed yesterday?
Sure. So the IOC filed a comment yesterday that was in reply to one of these comments that was part of the internal MPOC discussion. Klaus Stoll, who is in the executive leadership position with MPOC, stated, quote, there was no reason that the protection of commercial interest to grant protection to the IOC, this should simply be taken off the table as it is wasting everybody's time. So the IOC just felt that we would use the reply comment period to just correct the misstatement of fact that was made by Mr. Stoll and to clarify the status of the IOC as a non-commercial organization.
Okay. So, again, that's not really that's good. That's good for the PDP. But I don't think that's in line with our recommendations. That doesn't go against any of our recommendations.
Right, absolutely. We just wanted to use the reply comment period since the statement was made publicly to just correct the statement of fact.
Okay. Alan, were you able to get on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. I just want to check because I saw your notes in the chat.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that was mentioned in the comments that we did not discuss, including that last point that was just discussed, because that was one of the positions that some people in at large took, deeming the Olympic IOC to be a commercial organization because of their commercial activities associated with things. But so again, there's nothing new here that we did not discuss. So I didn't see anything in reviewing them that warranted a rethinking the position, which everyone had agreed with is a compromise, not necessarily everyone's ideal world, but that was the terms under which it was agreed.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Any other member of its drafting team want to comment? Okay, so then if everyone could then turn to the motion. So I prepared a motion. I know Chuck's commented on it. There was a little dialogue between Chuck and Alan. So if everyone wants to go open that up, I sent that out 11:29 a.m. my time, so that was about 3 hours ago. No, sorry, that was different email. That was a public comment tool. I sent it out at 10:04 a.m., so about 4 hours, almost 4 hours ago. And Chuck, did you want to, so Chuck's comment, if you open it up, was really to further clarify that this moratorium would only kick in if the PDP, and I'm calling it a moratorium, it's actually temporary reservation, would only kick in if the PDP wasn't finalized. And Alan said he thought, the people said that they thought that was kind of implicit in that, and then Chuck said maybe it should be more clear. Chuck, do you have any suggestions as far as the wording of what we could do?
Well, thanks, Jeff. It's Chuck, and it may be just me, but it doesn't seem real clear. Basically, what the recommendation was is if the PDP and any policy recommendations are not ready in time, that there would be, a temporary reservation or whatever we want to call them. I'm not sure pending the outcome of the recently launched PDP really says that clearly. Now, if everybody else thinks it does, I can live with that. But it almost sounds, like an until the outcome of the recently PDP, and maybe that's okay. So I'll go with what others think. I think we want to make sure that they understand that the results of the PDP will take precedence once it's finished, whether it's before new GTLD is introduced or after. But if everybody else is comfortable with the language, I can live with that.
I'm trying to think of a different way to word it. So,
Jeff, Alan, could I get in?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry, Alan.
Yeah. Just one comment and then one question for Chuck. First of all, I think we need to remember that the launching of new GTLDs is not a one-time process. The first one may be in N months from now. We don't know what N is. The last one may be 3 years from now. So there's going to be a stream of them, and our wording needs to address, the first and the last, because the first, it may well be that the PDP is not completed in time for the first one. It may well be that the PDP has been long dead and completed by the time the last GTLD is launched. So our wording has to cover those. But I guess my question for Chuck is, how else can you interpret that pending sentence if it doesn't mean what I thought it meant and what Jeff thought it meant when it drafted? What is the other interpretation that it could mean?
Good question. This is Chuck. For some reason, it just didn't seem clear to me. And maybe that's why I say maybe I'm just missing it. So as long as others think that it says what we intended, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Anybody else have a comment on it? Well, frankly, I'll open that up. You don't have to be on the drafting team to comment on it. Anyone else on the call has a comment on the language of the motion, they don't think it's clear, or they have any suggestions, please, join the queue. That goes to ICANN staff as well. Margie, do you think it's, put you guys on the spot, Margie, Barry, Brian, do you think it's clear or see any other ways to make it more clear? everyone's still awake?
Hi, it's Margie. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
It's Alan. I'll point out, we do have until the council meeting to change it if a wording needs to be tweaked. Getting it in time for the deadline is the critical issue at this point.
Okay, so I will then, absent hearing, or I will get this motion in. As Alan said, we do have the ability to withdraw the motion, change, you know, modify some words. If there's a huge amount of comments in the next 2 days before the reply period is done, you know, we could always pull it. But I think the goal is to get this in for the November meeting, which is I have to get this motion in today. So with that, really, there's not much else for the drafting team to do.
Hi, Jeff, it's Karen. I'm sorry, I had my hand up in Adobe, but I just had a question.
Sure, sorry. Yep.
Sorry, so for the record, this is Karen Mellon-Charyville. I have a question on the language of the motion in the, I guess, the first paragraph after "now, therefore, be it resolved." There's a reference to Section 2.2.1.2.3 of the Applicant Guidebook, and which lists the languages and the translations of the words to be protected. And then there's a reference to the 6 official languages of the UN. The Applicant Guidebook actually protects the UN 6 plus German, Greek, and Korean. So there's a little bit of a disconnect in that paragraph about what are you protecting, the names that are listed in the Applicant Guidebook or just the UN 6?
Okay, that's a good question. I'm going to pull out my copy of the guidebook, sorry.
Yeah, Jeff, it's Alan. My recollection is that our original discussion of the of this proposal made reference to the GAC letter, which did cover the those other languages.
Yeah, this is Karen again. That's our recollection as well, and so we agree with Barry's suggestion in the Adobe Connect room that we just remove the language about the UN 6 and just make reference to the Applicant Guidebook. That's our preference.
So then all of those marks that aren't listed in the 6 UN languages wouldn't be protected in those. Right? So, the for example, Red Lion and Sun is not, I don't know if that's in there in all 6 languages in 2.2.1, whatever. All right.
I can't speak to, this is Karen again, the Red Cross stuff. So, sorry, I'm only approaching this from the Olympic perspective. So that would, I'm not the appropriate person to answer that question.
Jeff, this is Stefan Hankins. Can I chip in? I don't know how to put my hand up on the machine.
Sure.
Yeah. Good evening. Well, I think the easiest way would indeed be to revert to the list that is in the applicant guidebook, or else we would need indeed to clarify, you know, because it is the case that, for example, the Red Lion and Sun is not protected in the 6. And the Magen David Adom is also not protected in the 6 UN languages. So, you know, there are two options, either to take, you know, the exact listing that is in the applicant guidebook, or to say that, you know, all the wordings, including the Red Lion and Sun, and the Magen David Adom are protected in all 6 languages.
Yeah, I think the easiest option is just to remove the reference to the 6 official languages. Chuck, do you have a comment?
Just a question, Jeff. Did I understand correctly, because I haven't looked back at the GAC language, but what's in the guidebook is what the GAC requested. Is that correct?
The GAC had some additional Mark's on there.
Well, it's Alan. I think there is a striking difference between the two.
Yeah.
I don't have the GAC one up in front of me right now, but my recollection is what they put in the guidebook is a subset of that.
Well, okay, this is Chuck again. So I guess I raised the question, considering our intent of doing the temporary reservation is to avoid any registrations that might happen and might not later be allowed, it seems like we'd be better off erring on the broader list for the temporary reservation than the narrower list.
Yeah, so what it says now is that Section 2.2.1.2.3 of the guidebook and per the GAC recommendation of September 14, 2011. We just left the language that way. I think they could do that.
Okay. That works for me, Chuck.
It's Alan. It may be useful prior to the council meeting if we actually do the research and see what the superset list is, if it's not the one in the applicant guidebook, just so people know what it is they're approving.
Okay, that's a good recommendation. Stefan, you have another comment?
Yeah, I had another comment. I just want to make sure that, the manner in which the temporary reservation is phrased is sufficient. I think I recall that there is an issue of implementation at the second level. So what I can do is call upon registrars to implement the reservation and to take. Also I can start to take all the necessary measures to implement the reservation, or in this case, the temporary reservation. So I just want to chip in, that we need to make sure that simply saying that is sufficient, or whether it should say and invite, I can to take, the necessary measures so that a temporary reservation is implemented until such time as, the results of the PDP are known. But I don't know enough about, the technical aspects. That is my only comment.
Okay. Stefan, I think that language in there is really more for the ICANN board than it would be for the GNSO Council. For us to just say that there should be a temporary reservation is enough as a policy body. Then
right.
It's up to the board to actually instruct ICANN staff to implement it in the guidebook or however they're going to do it. I think saying any more, and then I'll turn it over to Alan, but I think saying any more on this is just too, kind of goes beyond what the GNSO Council should do. I know the GAC sometimes has much more instructive language, but I think as a policy body, taking this approach of just saying that there should be a reservation is probably the way to go.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, Alan?
Yeah, we could certainly do what we tend to do in all PDPs these days of adding a statement saying the GNSO is willing to convene an implementation review group if necessary or if appropriate.
Yeah, I don't. All right, so this is my own personal opinion. I don't think we need to do that. I think it's pretty.
I don't think so either. But we could cover it that way if we have some worry about it.
Yeah, I mean we could bring that up with the council, but I'm not that concerned about it. I think it's pretty clear how to temporarily reserve a name.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any last comments? Okay.
This is Barry.
Yeah, hey, Barry.
Just real quick, something that we may want to touch on is about actually drafting the communication to the GAC. I'm not sure exactly the structure, the substance of that communication, and should we spend any time on that?
I think that's probably an issue that we can talk to the council on, how they want to do that. I'm not sure we need the drafting team for that.
Sounds good. Thank you.
The communication would come from the council itself, not necessarily the drafting team, I believe, right?
Right. That's correct. Okay. I know we're a couple minutes early for the next session. I don't know if you want to start that, Brian, or...
Sure. I think, is there any other comments or questions from the drafting team, or...
Let me just, as a last, just thank everyone on the drafting team for all the work. It's been definitely an up-and-down group. It's had some very passionate and hardworking individuals on it, and we've had certainly, like I said, our ups and downs, but I think that we're all glad that we're finished with this part and a lot of work to go on the PDP, and so I just want to thank everyone for their time and their effort. And with that, I will turn it over back to Brian.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff, and thank you for your service as the chair of the drafting team. We appreciate all your time and efforts and support of that, so thank you.
Indeed. Thanks.
And just to confirm, Jeff, you're going to be submitting the motion to the Municipal Council today?
I'm going to do that while we're on the phone for the next topic.
Okay. Okay. All right, well, thank you. And as Jeff mentioned, we'll now transition this call to the meeting of the IGO PDP working group, or drafting team working group, excuse me. And so we have a couple administrative matters to take care of, and then we'll move into the discussion. First of all, I guess, I don't know whether we officially need to redo the roll call for the purposes of this section of the meeting. I'm assuming that everyone that was on the drafting team is also, at least at this point, volunteering for this phase of the drafting team or working group. If so, then I think the roll call we had at the beginning is sufficient. Any objections to that? All right. A reminder that all who volunteer, we do need statements of interest. And so if you've not had an opportunity to submit that, we ask that you do so. The link for that submission is in the notes on the left-hand column there. So, again, if you have not had a chance to submit your statement of interest, we ask that you do so as soon as possible. Okay. Any questions on that? All right. The next order of business is to determine a chair for this group. As of last night, at least, or this morning, I think we had one nomination, somewhat in absentia, I think, from Chuck Gomes nominating Thomas Rickert. Is there any other nominations or any volunteers that would like to now submit their name? Is someone typing in a name? Nope. Chuck, did you hear from Thomas?
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Only just briefly because he's on vacation.
Sure.
He is considering it, but he has not made a decision yet. So we can't really pursue it at this time. I'm hoping early next week he will let us know. So in the meantime, if anybody has any other suggestions or a volunteer, that would be fine. That's all I have right now. And he did give me permission to at least say he's considering it. So that's about all I can say right now.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. So, again, any other nominations or volunteers that were willing to submit their name at this point?
This is Chuck again. It was, I think, suggested by one or two people that we consider having co-chairs. So... If somebody wanted to volunteer as a co-chair and not just the single chair, I just throw that out, okay?
Thanks, Chuck. Okay, given Currently, we have one nomination, and as Chuck pointed out, he's considering it at this time. I would suggest that we then postpone the selection of a chair until our next meeting. Unless someone else has another alternative suggestion. Okay. Would anyone
hey,
like
Brian.
To phone? Yes, hi.
Brian, it's Margie, if I may. Since we don't have anyone that looks like they want to make the decision on the chair issue right now, perhaps someone might want to volunteer to chair this meeting for, you know, for, on a temporary basis.
Just took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. again, you know, certainly would anyone be willing to volunteer to chair this particular session? Any objections to having staff chair this particular session?
This is Chuck. No objection for me.
Okay.
This is Jeff. No objection for me. I think that's fine.
Okay. All right. Then why don't we go ahead and move forward. I think, and please, you know, for those members that are on the working group, feel free to step in or say something if that you feel that I'm missing something or going down the wrong path. Our next order of business is to, and I think everyone would agree the primary objective of this session, to the extent that it's possible, is to work on the draft working group charter. And if at all possible, as Jeff knows in the prior session of this call, the deadline for submission for the council consideration of any document is today. So if at all possible, you know, that we can come to some consensus or agreement on the draft working group charter in time to submit it, I think that would be the primary objective of the remaining time of our call, to the extent that's possible. And so we did circulate a staff-generated initial draft last week. There was an initial discussion on that draft. There were some concerns expressed in the terms of the initial suggestion of, you know, dividing the proposed working group into two subgroups, one focusing on the recommendations for the IOC Red Cross, which in a sense was to pick up the work of the drafting team recommendation. The other group would work on the broader issue of which would be the main focus of the PDP, and that is to determine what appropriate protections may be recommended for the purposes of protecting IGO and INGO names at the first, top and second levels of in all GTLDs. So there was some concern expressed about that that breakup. Since that time, we have received a submission from the registry stakeholder group, submitted on that group by Dave Mayer. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. And that is currently what is up on the screen. And so that is one proposal we have before us. And so this is open up for discussion. I don't know, David, if you wanted to quickly go through it, try and explain the position of the registry stakeholder group and the reasoning for the proposed revisions.
Well, yeah, I just very briefly that the principal change from the original charter is to get rid of the idea of having two separate working groups. We believe that the various issues are so intertwined that really wouldn't be practical. And I think at that point, I'll open it up for any other comments or questions.
Thank you, Dan. Anyone else in the group? Chuck, you have your hand raised.
Thanks, Barry. Just to point out, if people would take a look at number one, because there was a little bit of discussion in the registries with regard to this one, assuming that the recommendations are going to be approved by the council, reference the motion that Jeff's going to put forward today. So because that kind of impacts what we're going to do, because if they don't, you know, number one may have to be changed. But for simplicity in getting a charter on the table, we thought that was fairly safe to assume, not automatic, but fairly safe to assume. And then I think the, you know, if for some reason that doesn't happen, then obviously the charter would have to be modified, but at least we'd have a charter in place. Charters can always be changed.
Thank you, Chuck. Any other comments or observations or questions?
Brian, this is Barry. I'd just like to point out to the group that Aubrey had sent a few suggestions in as well, and I posted them over on the left-hand section of the Adobe Connect room for the members to review.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Barry. I wanted to see if we would had any more comments or questions on that, and we're going to move over to Aubrey's request as well. Kieran, you have your hand up.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, this is Kieran. I wanted to say that the IOC supports the division of the subgroups. We have always said that the work has already been done, primarily on determining the rationale and the justification for protections of the IOC and Red Cross names. And we think, especially for the purposes of expediting at least that part of the PDP, we need to keep the issues separate, and we need to keep the considerations separate. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck, you have your hand up.
I'm sorry, I was on
mute.
That's
okay.
A question for Kieran. I don't know how you keep them separate. Maybe they can be separated. Maybe they can't. The working group, even if it's not in the charter, the working group could still make the decision to form some separate subgroups, as was proposed by staff. So it's not as if that's still not possible, but to say that's the way we have to do it and lock that in the charter didn't seem like a wise thing to do because, as David said, these things aren't just totally separate, and some people may think they are, and maybe they're right, but I think the working group should decide that on their own rather than locking that into the charter.
Hi, Chuck. So this is Kieran. I don't know that I have – I can come up with, like, an off-the-cuff response to that question, but I will say that the legal basis for protections of the distinct groups, the IGOs and then the IOC and the RC, are all very different and separate issues. So I don't really see how you wouldn't separate them, especially since we've spent, really since 2008, outlining and discussing with various groups in ICANN the IOC's legal position. And I think it's just, I think it's important to separate it, and I think it's important to not go backwards and waste the time taking out the consideration of the subgroups just to have to revisit and discuss it within the context of the working group deliberations. I think that is, to be honest with you, a waste of time to not just establish that separation up front and then move on. Thanks.
Hello, can anybody hear me?
Yes, who is this? Good.
Jim Bykoff.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to second what Kieran has said. I think that a lot of the legal work has already been done on the IOC-RC, as evidenced by not only GAC's efforts, but also the efforts of the General Counsel of ICANN and also this outside counsel, and we have reports on all of these. And it would be, I think, somewhat going backward to have to redo or have to do that again in consideration of IGO and other international organizations whose interests are going to be different and different statutes involved. So I think that we should keep these separated. That would be my recommendation, too.
Any other comments or responses?
Can I say one other thing?
Sure, Jim, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention there's something in the PDP that also involves whether or not this protection should be extended to existing TLDs like .com and .org. And I think on that issue, you know, there has to be further consideration because that's not the subject that we're dealing with or have dealt with since we've been restricting our comments to the new GTLDs. So I just wanted to make that point.
I think, if I may, on and Margie and Barry, please again step in. But it might, if I could speak on behalf of the staff who drafted the original suggested draft as a starting point, and just to clarify the purpose for dividing into subgroups. The first subgroup was to address the need to carry on the work of, or the recommendation of the drafting team, IOC Red Cross drafting team, and that was to address the protection of the IOC and Red Cross names in the second level of the first round of new GLBs prior to the delegation sometime next spring. So, you know, to be honest with you, the staff envisioned the separation to address, I mean, that first subgroup wasn't so much to separate the IOC and Red Cross and the general broader question of permanent protections beyond the first round and or whether it include only new or all GLBs, but rather to specifically carry out the work of the drafting team, and that was the intended purpose of separating it out, given the expedite basis necessary for that, both from the recommendations of the drafting team and of the real world practicality of the delegation of the GLB sometime in the spring of the current plan. So I think I don't know if that clarification helps, but the second group was meant to design to deal with again permanent protections for all these organizations, including the Red Cross and IOC. Beyond the first round, and then, of course, as the PDP has been initiated by the Genital Council, it means to include consideration for all GLPs and not just new GLPs. So I think that, given also with what I think some have raised here, is that in the working group charter, you do have the flexibility of certainly having, once the group is established, by the charter being adopted by the council, it could certainly be, if indeed the work seems to indicate that perhaps it would be better to separate it off, you have the flexibility of doing that. But again, the original intent of, or the original proposal of the staff was, more along those lines. Okay, we have Chuck, Karen, and then Alan.
Thanks, Brian. With Jim, just a quick response on the existing TLDs. As I think you saw probably on the list, I pointed out that at a PDP, if there are policy recommendations, consensus policy recommendations that are approved by the board out of the PDP, they will affect existing and new GTLDs, all of them, and that includes even if the PDP finishes after the some of the new GTLDs are delegated. So I don't think it needs to be stated that way, but I think Aubrey made a good point that there may be some issues that we have to talk about in terms of implementation because you have legacy registrations and things like that. And there's precedent in terms of how those kinds of things were handled in various areas, including IDNs, as the protocol changed. So I don't think it's necessary to say that. If somebody wanted to say something about dealing with the implementation of any policies that might be recommended, that might be okay. But I think that it's covered by the very definition of a PDP already.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Kieran.
Hi, Brian. I just have a question. This is Kieran. In your earlier statement, you said that the subgroup A would come up with recommendations on the second level for the first round. My question is, why would you then revisit protections for future rounds if you came to a decision via PDP that protections were warranted in the first round? Does that question make sense? Sorry.
Sure. No, thank you. It basically was to pick up the work of the recommendation of the drafting team. And, you know, as we had the intermediary part of the session, the drafting team's recommendation was, again, focused on addressing the GAC concerns or the GAC, advice of, providing protection for the IOC and Red Cross names, at least, in some form, at the second level for the first round prior to the delegation of the first round of new GLD's delegation. With that in mind, if you remember the original recommendation of the drafting team were one, that this issue should be dealt with through an expedited PDP, but in lieu of any PDP not being able to be completed in time and or some other board resolution, then, this temporary reservation would be in place. So it was mainly to pick up the work of the recommendations of the drafting team, and that was to, again, to try to facilitate, because we know, obviously, that the broader work of the PDP, as you say, will incorporate more organizations, will probably take more time. So the idea was to be, as expedited as possible in dealing with that specific issue within that subgroup.
Right. I guess I understand the rationale for providing temporary protections until the results of subgroup A's considerations, which would feasibly be a PDP consensus policy recommendation on the IOC-RC issue specifically. I just don't understand why you would then have to revisit the IOC-RC issue within the context of the IGO-INGO, there's so many acronyms, IGO-INGO considerations for future rounds.
Well, I think that's up for the PDP and the working group to decide whether indeed, the protections that were determined for, at least the second round the second level of the first new round of GTLDs is indeed appropriate for all future rounds, or whether there would be, some other policy basis or legal basis on which, permanent protection would be extended. And then, that's, I think, for the PDP working group to decide.
Okay, great. Thank you. That answers my question perfectly. I appreciate it.
Okay. Alan, sorry, if you're waiting.
Thank you. I guess I'll introduce some what I consider practical issues. The work of the drafting team looks like it's going to be complete and go to council and make recommendations on an interim basis for the first round. Let's not revisit that. We have enough real work to do. So that's number one, and we don't need to keep on looking at that. And second of all, the concept of breaking up into two groups, I understand from the point of view of the representatives of the IOC and Red Cross movement, that may be nice that they only have to participate in one of the groups. But for most of the rest of us, I suspect we are going to be interested in both of those. And to schedule two things that work in parallel, which may well mean two meetings a week, I think is close to abusive at this point. If indeed the overall group needs to meet twice a week to get its work done, which has happened in other PDPs, so be it. But let's not presume that we need that level at this point until we at least understand what the differences or similarities are between the two sections. So I'll make the same comment I made last time. The PDP may decide to split into two groups. That's happened before as part of its work effort, but let's not presume it from the charter point of view, because that sets a workload which I think is far and above what is warranted at this point. Those of us who are participating in these groups and others have a heavy workload as it is, and let's not make it heavier than we need to because of an artificial constraint. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Any other comments or responses or questions?
Yeah, it's Jim Bykoff.
Yes, Jim.
I think, to respond to Alan's point, first of all, I think, we are definitely interested in being on both groups, if there are two, because we have other clients, too. So we're interested in each of the groups. But secondly, I'm not sure why you couldn't structure the meetings the way you did today and have the first, 45 minutes or hour on the one group and then the second on the second group. It doesn't seem to me that it would have to necessarily be two calls a week.
Chuck.
Yeah, I don't think we're making very much progress on getting a charter that can be put in front of the council today, and I think we need to zero in on that. Obviously, there's disagreement in terms of the division of the groups. Like I pointed out before, it can be divided that way. The working group can decide it be divided that way on its own without it being in the charter, and that's the approach that the registries took in recommending this. Now, if we can't, if that approach is not acceptable and we can't get agreement, then we're going to be putting the charter off maybe as much as a month.
Thank you, Chuck. Any other comments or responses? I think, as Chuck mentioned, as we mentioned at the outset, I think obviously the priority is to try to get a charter that we can agree on that can be submitted by today's deadline, so that this working group can indeed start working as soon as possible, which, of course, I think everyone realizes the importance of getting this going as expedited basis as possible as well. So it seems to me from the discussion that, you have the flexibility of maintaining one group or splitting into two groups with without restricting, have the most restrictive language in the charter itself, whereas if we have the charter language as it currently stands, having it two split groups, it makes it more constricted and more difficult, or that's the basis on which it starts. So, as it's been here, we've got two points of view. One approach seems a little more flexible in accommodating both views than the other. I don't know how much more I can say as a staff member. So would anyone like to propose that the proposed revision as submitted upon behalf of the registry stakeholder group be considered as an appropriate revision for the current draft as it stands?
I'm sorry, were you asking for a motion?
Yes, sorry.
well, this is Brett. I'm with the registries here. I'd be happy to move that the registry constituency proposal be adopted as the new charter for the working group.
Okay, for the sections of objectives and goals and deliverables and timeframes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a motion. Would anyone like to second that motion?
I know I'm a registry. This is Jeff. I'll second it, I guess.
Okay. So we have the motion before. Chuck, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, I want to bring us back to Aubrey's suggestions, because I think that when it gets to the council, that the charter would probably have a lot broader support if we address the suggestions that Aubrey made. Now, I'm speaking for myself personally, because David will be our primary spokesman for the registry stakeholder group. But I would suggest that we add those suggestions that she made. I think they're fine. I certainly don't have any problems with them, and I'll let David speak for the stakeholder group. And then I think that we'd be further along in terms of getting support on the council 8 days from now if those are in there.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Anyone have any additional comments or responses to that?
This is Chuck again. I would just suggest that, in other words, I'm suggesting that as a friendly amendment for our working group right now to Brett's motion and Jeff's second.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, I was going to go to Aubrey's comments after this, but I agree it's probably more efficient to add this as a friendly amendment. Okay. David, I saw your name, your hand briefly go up in the chat room, but I also just saw your note saying that you're unable to speak. Is there anything that you want to maybe present in the chat? Okay. Does anyone would like to second Chuck's friendly amendment to the motion put forth by Brett and seconded by Jeff?
In terms of procedure, Brian, I think you can just ask whether Brett and Jeff
agree with the friendly amendment.
Yeah, except that it's friendly. So.
Okay, thank you for that. Brett and Jeff, do you accept Chuck's proposal amendment as friendly?
Well, this is Jeff. I mean, I do, but Brett's the person who made it. So as a seconder, I'm okay with it.
All right. Brett? Brett, are you on the line? I'm not sure if we lost Brett or... Brett, are you mute?
This is Chuck again. Is there anybody on the call that is opposed to adding the suggestions that Aubrey made?
Chuck, it's Alan speaking. It may be helpful if you summarize what they are for those who don't memorize every email.
staff, can you put those back up?
Sure. Chuck and Alan, we should point this out. It's in the notes on the left-hand side of the Adobe room. If you scroll down under the GNSO resolution, it has Aubrey's suggestions to IGO, INGO charter.
And Alan, do you want me to go through those, or do people want to just read them?
I remembered what she said. I was pointing it out for that it might be useful. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, wants me to, I can't claim to be authoritative to speak for Aubrey, but I think her suggestions were fairly clear.
Has everyone on the call have access to the Adobe room to be able to see Aubrey's suggestions? Or would anyone like to have them? Okay.
It's Jim Bykov. I'm in a taxi, so I do not have
them. Okay. Chuck, would you mind going through them, or?
No. And Jim, was that your hand raised there with Kieran there, or did Kieran have something separate?
I am not in a taxi. This is Kieran. I am in my office. I'm not with Jim, but I will wait to speak, Chuck, if it's okay with you, until after you summarize for Jim.
Sure. Okay, well, let me scroll down here. So she said, as a kind of a order of our work, I think, is first of all, we need to establish the bases under which ICANN should expand its reserve names list or to create a special reserve names list to include IOC, IFRC, RCRC, IGO, and INGO related names. That's her first suggestion in terms of order of work, is the way I'm describing it. Second was decide on whether the name should be added to the existing reserve names list or a new list should be created. Third, develop a policy recommendation on how determinations can be made concerning which organizations meet the bases recommended above. Fourth, this is in addition to the two I already recommended, something like this, and this was a separate email that she had sent earlier. Do an impact analysis on each of the recommendations, if any, for rights, competition, et cetera, as defined in the PDP. And those are her suggestions for the charter to a little bit further describe the tasks that need to be done under by the working group. Does that help?
Yes, it helps. I think it sounds to me like she's looking to open this up to a lot of area that's already been covered, as I've mentioned, in previous legal analyses and also recommendations by not only the GAC, but, as commented on by ICANN General Counsel and outside counsel. It seems to me you've got different considerations here with respect to IOCRC and everybody else, and I think that adding that language really is not helpful. I think we should leave it where it is and discuss that within the PDP, but I don't think it should be in the charter.
And this is Chuck again. I'm willing to, if others feel that way, I'm willing to withdraw the suggestion to add those. I was just trying to hopefully make it easier for the council to deal with this. I think most of those things are things that will have to happen in the working group anyway. I agree, Jim, that some of the work may already be done for some of those subcategories. I was just trying to accommodate a suggestion that I thought pretty much covered stuff that if we're doing our work properly, we would have to do anyway, understanding that a lot of work has already been done for in terms of information and so forth, gathering with regard to the IOC and Red Cross.
I understand that, Chuck, and I appreciate that. I think you're right. I think these points will definitely come up during the working group deliberations. But I think rather than to predetermine that this is the mandate in the charter, I think it's better to have it brought up during the drafting team or discussion group conversations to decide whether or not some of this has already been done and can be, the focus can be on the other organizations for these issues or not. And I think that's up to the team, whoever's on the drafting team, to decide as they go through their negotiations. So I'm not trying to avoid the questions. I'm just saying that I think they're preferably put into the working group rather than into a charter.
Can I respond to that, Brian, real quickly, and then we need to get to Kieran and Alan. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. And Jim, as I think I already demonstrated, I like the greater flexibility in the charter anyway, and then the working group can decide. So I'm perfectly comfortable with withdrawing my friendly amendment, but let's hear from Kieran and Alan.
Hi, Chuck. It's Kieran. I just wanted to concur with Jim in his entire statement and also just add that in the drafting team recommendations, we promised to make a sincere effort to expedite the PDP, and I think the addition of these things to a charter rather than letting the issues come up naturally, as Jim suggested, within the discussions of the working group is really going to affect our efforts to expedite. Thanks.
Okay. Ellen?
Yeah, thank you. Although I have some problem with the wording in that, I think that, you know, there's overlap in the first bullet and the second bullet. And as I said in the email list when Avery first posted that, I would not really want to see these prescribed as a serial list of things we must do in order. But I have no problem including them. And I think Chuck's original motivation was if putting them in will help this go through council and get approved quickly instead of having a significant debate at council and having the amendment done then, I don't see the harm in it. If the work has already been done, then it's on the table and we can bring it up. It doesn't say we need to redo it. And I'll point out that all of the work in the that the GAC produced and the evidence of laws and things related to that indicate that these names cannot be used as domain names, not that they can't be registered. And there's a subtle difference between the two. And I know Jeff has brought that up a number of times. And this group does need, the work group will need to address why we are putting them in the reserve list, not only why the usage is not allowed. So I have no problem with putting this in, and I think Chuck is right that it may well go through council quicker if it's in than if it's not in. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or responses? Right, I guess, Chuck, I guess the question would be is whether you want to maintain your submission as a friendly amendment for acceptance by Brett, or whether you...
That's an honest and legitimate question, and I'm hearing two sides. Is it, can anybody else chime in to help us out here? Do you have strong feelings? I'm willing to go with the stronger sentiment. Like I said, it's not a huge issue for me personally, but Alan's point's well taken. I think if we add these, in fact, maybe I'll ask, while others are thinking about commenting, maybe I'll ask Jim if there's some changes, simple changes to Aubrey's language that would make you feel a little more comfortable. And then, please, others chime in. Again, I'm just trying to make this thing move forward quickly.
Jonathan,
Chuck, Barry, thanks, Jonathan. I mean, I guess I've really been listening in with the main purpose of being well informed rather than necessarily making any kind of significant contribution at the moment, but it does strike me, I wouldn't mind if Jim or others could come back on this point. I mean, it strikes me that the key objective of Chuck, as supported by Alan, is to try and ensure that the expeditious nature of the PDP or this work is working group work is upheld. So I just wonder if, having heard those rationalizations, if those opposed to the changes proposed are perhaps minded to either, as you say, Chuck, accept some slightly different wording or even accept them as suggested by Avery, given that context that you've described, Chuck, and as I say, support by Alan, of trying to make sure that we keep this process on a fast track. So that's really my two cents worth. Just a question to those opposed to it, if those rationalizations have made any difference.
This is Chuck again, not seeing anybody jumping up with ideas or compromises. Is there something we could notice? What if we said, like Aubrey says in her preface, that these are suggestions for the IGO, INGO working group to consider.
I think I saw in the chat that Kieran suggested that was acceptable language. Can consider the following things. I think that's fine. This is Brett.
We're glad you joined again. I'm okay with that. Is And Brett and Jeff, worded that way, you would both accept that as a friendly amendment to your motion? This is Chuck.
Yes, from Jeff.
Yes, I don't see why not.
Hello? Can anybody hear?
Yep.
Yes. It's Jim Bykoff. I was cut off. I was asking whether we could have 24 hours to comment on that language. Because I don't have it in front of me, and I need to look at it again.
Let me suggest this, Jim. It's Chuck. Sorry, Brian, for jumping in, but help here. The problem is we don't have 24 hours to meet the deadline for information like this to be considered by the council next week. It literally has to be done today.
Okay.
But as I think Alan pointed out earlier, a motion once, a motion or, and I guess there would be a motion to approve this charter, it can be modified, it can be amended in the next 8 days before the council meeting. So, in essence, you would just need to feed that information in, and I'm sure any of the counselors that are working with us here, including the chair who's on with us, would be willing to put your information, your suggestions forward.
Okay, could you read it again then?
Okay, well, Kieran's language, it was the group may, I'm going to change it a little bit, Kieran, the group may consider the following. Establish the basis under which ICANN should expand its reserve names list or to create a special reserve names list to include IOC, IFRC, RCRC, IGO, and INGO-related names. Second, decide on whether the name should be added to the existing reserve names list or a new list should be created or list. Develop a policy recommendation on how determination can be made concerning which organizations meet the bases recommended above. Next was do an impact analysis on each of the recommendations, if any, for rights, competition, et cetera, as defined in the PDP. And then the last one was determine how incumbent registries should meet the new policy recommendations, if any.
Could we add something to that indicates that work that's previously been done by the drafting team, that there'll be an effort not to duplicate work that's already been done as to the IOCRC names?
It's all right with me. It's Chuck again. Anybody object to that?
I'm sorry, Jim, could you repeat that?
Well, something to the effect, again, I'm standing outside a lobby, so I don't have anything in front of me. Something to the effect that an effort will be made by the PDP drafting team to avoid duplicating efforts that have already been made by the IOCRC drafting team with regard to those names.
He's typing, so I can hear it. This is Chuck. I'm okay with that. Anybody object to that? It's Chuck asking. Since I'm
Chuck, it's Jonathan. I've got no objection. In fact, we might even strengthen that comment slightly along the lines of given the commitment to an expedited PDP process, encourage all efforts to take advantage of any prior work or something along those lines, so that we actually make reference to the fact that this is a so-called expedited PDP.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think it should be limited to the IOCRC name, since that's the only thing that the drafting team has discussed up to now.
Sorry, I understood that to be implicit, but yes, I guess that's the case.
I'm letting you take charge again, Brian.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Thanks.
Nice of me, huh?
So perhaps we could use that language as a conclusion to the points or the elements that that Aubrey has suggested. So we start off by saying, the group will consider the following. You list the suggestions offered by Aubrey, And then as the last kind of conclusion to that, said, given the commitment to the expedited PDP process, the PDP will exert all efforts to avoid duplicating the efforts of the IOCRC drafting team with regards to those particular names.
Yes.
Are you okay with that, Jim?
Yes.
Okay.
Except for the Fed. Sorry, this is Kieran. Just really quickly, you said the group will. We want to make sure it says the group may.
The group may consider.
I think it should be will.
No, will means that it's mandatory to do Aubrey's suggestions. We don't want it to be mandatory. We want it to be as they come up and organic.
I meant will on the first part only, on the part I suggested.
Yeah, this is Chuck. We're talking about two different things. The intro to Aubrey's suggestions is a may consider. The added language that Jim suggested and that Jonathan also chimed in on is what you're suggesting is a will.
Yes, the PDP will exert all efforts to avoid duplicating the efforts of the ICRC drafting team with regard to those particular names.
Yes. That's fine.
We have two hands up.
Yes, Alan and then Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. I can live with these words, but I find it rather, I'm not sure what the word is. If the work is applicable and it exists and there's a huge crossover of membership between the drafting team and this group, I can't imagine we wouldn't use it. But there can't be a presumption that the work is applicable in all cases. So the drafting team has to have a mind. The working group's going to have a mind of its own and make sure that the decisions it reaches are ones that are believed by the working group. So I don't believe this really adds anything. We're not masochists who are going to do the work over again just for the sake of it. And on the other hand, we have a due diligence obligation to make sure that whatever prior work that we rely on applies and is the right answer to the questions we're asking. So I could certainly live with it. I'm not sure what it asks, but in any case, what it adds, rather.
Okay.
Is anybody else's hand up?
Jeff has his hand up.
Yes, I have Jeff Newman's and then Jim.
Yeah, I'm fine with not duplicating the work in the sense that there were some very valuable contributions from groups like the Olympic Committee and the Red Cross on their own legal analysis and some other points about their marks. What I'm concerned about is that people will take that language to mean that the drafting team actually based its decision on something it may not have based its decisions on. So I'm very cognizant of the fact, you know, for example, Jim made the point at the beginning. He said, well, the legal analysis has been done by the GAC and by the ICANN General Counsel, and I actually disagree with all of that. And Jim and I guess, disagree, but I actually think the legal analysis was closer to what, I can't remember if it was Chuck or, no, I think it was Alan, who said, I actually don't think the legal analysis has been done on whether a registry or registrar under the law has to protect these marks by reserving them. So I'm afraid that some will use that language in the charter to say, well, the work's already been done, so we have to take it as a given. So on the one hand, I totally agree that the Olympic Committee and the Red Cross and others shouldn't have to recreate some of the materials that they've already created. On the other hand, I don't want that sentence to imply in any way that the IOC or the Red Cross or that the drafting team made any conclusions with respect to that, because I don't believe the drafting team did. I hope that makes sense.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. We have, as David Maher has noted, he cannot communicate, but he in the chat room, he agrees with Jeff's point.
I'm back on.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, Jeff, given what you said, would you prefer that the language not be included then?
Well, I would prefer language that just says that the group can use the materials that were provided to the drafting team in its own deliberations, as opposed to saying we won't duplicate the work. So I fully expect them to take advantage of everything the drafting team did, that the conversations they had, the transcripts. I mean, there were some very valuable sessions that we had, and I don't think those sessions should be duplicated, but I don't want it to imply that the work itself or that there were any conclusions that were reached when they weren't.
Okay. Alan, I know you have your hand up, but just let me clarify. I mean, so you, Jeff, you would say that rather than saying, you know, we'll avoid the duplication of the drafting team's work, is that, you know, that the, again, given commitment to the expedited PDP process, the working group will utilize pre-existing efforts or work of the drafting team's work?
I'm more comfortable with something like that than we'll not duplicate the work.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, I'll add perhaps a bit of humor to this, in that the end product of the drafting team's work was a stalemate where we couldn't come to any conclusions, and we put a compromise in of interim protection while the real people figured out what the long-term answer should be. I'm not sure we want to replicate the work of the drafting group in being unable to come to any conclusion. So be careful what we ask for. That was introduced and slightly in a sense of humor.
Thank you, Alan. Elizabeth. Hello?
Sorry, I was on mute. This is Elizabeth Finberg. I would say to that point, I don't know if maybe it's too much wordsmithing, but rather than say will utilize, maybe we should say something like may refer to or will consider. Because, again, I don't think there have been any conclusions reached. And while
You're still on. We can still hear you.
Sorry. While we don't want to duplicate work, I think we also don't want to commit to, you know, placing our stamp on it until we've had a chance to consider everything.
Okay. So we have a couple options. One would be is, you know, the PDP working group will either avoid duplicating, or the PDP working group will, exert its best efforts, so she'll strive to either avoid duplication of, will utilize the drafting team's work, or will consider the drafting team's work with regard to these particular names.
We'll consider the documents, I think she said.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Since this is Chuck, since I suggested the amendment, my preference would be to sell, I'm still open to discuss it, would be to say the working group will consider the work and documents produced by the IOC Red Cross drafting team.
Okay. How is anybody else with that latest proposed revision? Is that something that's acceptable to all those who have contributed so far?
Can you type it into the chat box? This is Kieran.
Sure. Just give me a minute here.
This is Barry. I can take that. So what I have right now is, given the commitment to expedite the PDB process, the working group will consider previous, and Chuck, can you help me out with what you had just said, consider previous documents?
We'll consider the work and documents produced by the drafting team.
By OCRC drafting team.
Yeah.
And I think with regard to those particular names.
That's all really that the drafting team focused on. So you can put that if you want. That's fine.
That was just what I had been suggested before.
Yeah.
Great. I just pasted the next version in the chat on the lower right, and it states, for those that can't see this, given the commitment to expedite the PDP process, The working group will consider the work and documents produced by the IOC-RCRC drafting team, but an effort should be taken to avoid duplication of past efforts with respect to IOC-RCRC.
Now, this is Chuck. Jeff, are you okay with that? Because that seems to be heading back in the direction that you were expressing concerns about. The duplication part is the part I'm talking about.
Hmm.
Jeff, are you on mute?
By the way, it's Jim Bykoff. I just got back on. My phone went dead.
Okay.
This is Liz Finberg here. The same just happened to me.
All right. And David has mentioned that he thinks Jeff also dropped off. So is the East Coast dropping offline?
I just, Chuck, I'm looking at that last, after the but an effort should be, I think, and I'm trying to determine what I think, to accommodate Jeff's concern, I think I would just stop at the comma and say, given the commitment to expedite the PDB process, the working group will consider the work and documents produced by the IOC-RCRC drafting team, and just leave it at that.
Yeah, that was my understanding of the latest suggested revision was, as you said, Chuck, to stop after the comma.
Yeah.
Based on what Jeff and Elizabeth had suggested. Jeff, are you on the line? Okay. Barry has just retyped in the chat on the right-hand side. So, again, for those who don't have the benefit of being able to see it, it's given the commitment to expedite the PDE process, the working group will consider the work and documents produced by the IOC-RC drafting team. Is there, would that be acceptable to those who have previously offered some suggestions and contributions?
It's Jim Bykoff speaking.
Yes, Jim. Mm-hmm.
What I was trying to get at, I guess, you know, I'm not going to stand on the language that I suggested. What I was trying to do is to avoid the, since we're going to have new people on this drafting team, is to avoid duplicating things that have already been done and talked about over the last year or so, so that we do save time. And the thought is to, in order to expedite, there should be some kind of a, I'm not sure I want to say commitment, but some kind of a best effort to avoid duplicating work that's already been done. I mean, there have been a number of submissions filed by a number of parties, both the Red Cross and the IOC, things from the GAC, things from the board. It would seem to me that to duplicate would simply slow down the process, whereas if people, you know, if these points are, you know, looked at as being points that were reviewed, It should help to expedite the efforts. That was all I was trying to do.
Alan, you have your hand up.
Yeah, 2 points. Number one, on purely grammatical, I think it should be produced/used, because the working group didn't produce documents, but it did use documents. However, on Jim's last point, first of all, the group didn't come to any real conclusions. Otherwise, the recommendation would have been more substantive than it was. So I don't think we need to really worry about what decisions the group made and whether they could be used again. But regardless, even if the group had made substantive decisions, we can't bind this working group, which is a significant superset of that one, to honoring the thought processes and decisions that were taken by that drafting team. But as I said, I don't think the drafting team came to a lot of conclusions, so I'm not sure we really need to worry about it a lot. Thank you.
right, thanks, Jeff. Alan, Chuck, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that we, if there's no opposition, that we go ahead with what we have, including Alan's latest edit on with regard to the documents, and send that to the council as a charter. One of the councilors is going to have to propose it as a charter and a motion in that regard, and with the understanding that all of us can feed in through our counselors additional amendments to the motion and the associated draft charter in the next few days.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. Any objections to that proposal? So we have a motion by Brett, seconded by Jeff, with a friendly amendment that has evolved from Chuck that has been, I believe, just to confirm everybody here, that has been accepted or approved by Brett as a friendly amendment that would basically include the language suggested by Aubrey, preceded by the language the working group may consider the following, and then the list of items that Aubrey has suggested, concluding with the language we should now have is, given the commitment to expedite the PDP process, the working group will consider the work and documents produced and used by the IOC-RCRC drafting team.
Just one correction there, I think, for
sure.
Alan's suggestion was the work produced.
Produced and documents used.
Used,
yes.
Not produced.
Yes.
I think just get rid of
that's
the
right,
word
yeah.
Produced, used by the...
Work produced and documents used. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
It's Jim. I think that last statement, though, should be, you know, that it should be restricted to the IOC-RC marks because the documents produced do not pertain to the broader subset of marks. We didn't do anything on IGO marks or INGO marks.
Yeah, that's a good addition.
Okay, so... by the IOC RC drafting team with regard to
the ICRC marks.
Marks.
Words. I'm sorry, words.
Words. No, how about terms?
Terms, okay.
Regard to the IOC RC terms. How about that?
That's okay.
Okay. Okay, so we have that. Again, we have that motion seconded. Friendly amendment also accepted with the language we just read.
It's Alan. I have my hand up.
I'm sorry, Alan. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, David Maher in the chat asked, are we going to consider the words that he had proposed on a request to legal counsel? I'm just answering the question out loud.
This is Chuck. Alan, I think that we should deal with the chart, finish the charter issue, and then talk about that. That's not part of the charter.
I'm not sure if David meant it to be part of the charter. That's why I'm raising the question, because he put it in the chat and it's rolled off the screen already.
And I'm saying that it was I'm quite confident it was not
okay.
Something part of the charter, but something that the working group it would be good to initiate right away.
Yeah,
so
and David
kind
just
of a separate issue. Does that make
David
sense?
Just confirmed that.
Yeah.
Okay, great, thanks. All right. I have one to Brett or Jeff and or Chuck. One question, just a matter of logistics, and that is, you know, this language, would this go into, you know, and the charter itself? We've already got, as you said, the proposed revisions to objectives and goals and deliverables and timeframes provided by on behalf of the registry stakeholder group. This language that we've just is now before us. Would we also put this in the deliverables?
It could go either place, I think. Actually, you have some deliverables under objectives and goals already, right? So
mm-hmm.
Maybe we could just my suggestion would be that it be cleaned up. First of all, the objectives and goals, the deliverables, you have deliverables under objectives and goals, and they would more rightly be under deliverables and timeframes, right? And I think probably Aubrey's suggestions fit better under objectives and goals because they're really not deliverables, right? Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, no, it makes sense because it's may consider rather than actual objectives. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's right. Yeah. But this probably.
Yeah, because there are things that the group may consider.
Yeah.
And then it would also be an objective of goal of the. Of the working group, even with the last language of not to consider the work and documents.
Excuse me, it's Alan. Could you turn the control of the screen over to us so we can scroll ourselves and see if we think it fits somewhere better?
This is Barry. I'm just going to post the very next version. Give me 2 seconds, please. All right, 5 seconds.
And Chuck, while we're waiting for it to come up, I apologize for leaning on you for procedure, but my understanding is that if indeed we adopt this group adopts this draft charter for submission to GNSO, does it have to be submitted from a member of this group to the GNSO Council?
I don't know whether it does or not, but I think if we can get a counselor to submit a motion with this charter that was discussed on the working group call today, I think that's the really critical thing that needs to happen.
Okay.
Okay, I have, this is Barry, I have version 5 posted. Everybody else should have control. And what I did is moved the Aubrey suggestions up into the objectives and goals, still keeping the first paragraph that was there originally, and then in the deliverables and timeframes was the section requested by the registry stakeholder group.
And you maintain, I haven't found it yet, but you maintained under deliver, or you moved from what used to be deliverables into the deliverables section, what used to be objectives, because those were good things that were in there before, the initial report and et cetera. You know what I'm talking about? I'm having trouble finding it.
Chuck, I think you're referring to develop at a minimum an initial report and a final report regarding whether...
It's there. Okay, I was having trouble.
We actually kept that in the objectives and the goals.
Aren't those deliverables?
To be honest with you, we based that on some previous PDP working group charters.
I understand, but aren't they deliverables?
Regardless, it's in the PDP rules. They have no choice regardless of where we put them in the charter.
Yeah, it's not a big issue. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the goal would be the ultimate objective and goal is to produce to develop at least an initial and final report.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with you. They are a deliverable in a sense, but I mean, I think all the deliverables are leading up to what would be in the ultimate goal and objective, and that is to provide that initial and final report.
That's fine. This is Chuck again. And I would suggest if there's no objections that we go ahead and move on to the other suggestion by the Register Stakeholder Group.
Sure. So are there any objections to the current version of the draft working group charter that is now up on the screen or that we've hopefully outlined verbally? Are there any objections among those on the call here? So then I think we can say that the motion to propose or submit this working group draft charter can be submitted to the council today to meet the deadline for consideration next week's council meeting.
And you'll just need this, Chuck, again, you'll just need to get a councilor to commit to do that today.
Okay. Do we have any councilors still on the line that are willing to do that?
The only ones we have are, we have three. We have Jonathan, Landry, and Osvaldo.
I'd be glad to do that.
Landry, you could do that? Okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
But I need someone to do the draft for me so that I can send it to the council.
Sure. What's your time frame? And Chuck, we will. I promise we will get to the other issue. But just very quickly, just for logistics, how much time do we have to get you a draft motion so that you can then turn this around and send it to the council?
If I get the draft right away, then I can send it to the council.
Okay. Well, I think, and Chuck, I apologize again for this, but I think the motion can simply say that the drafting, you know, the PDP, you know, the IGO, INGO, PDP drafting team has approved the following draft working group charter for consideration and approval by the GNSO Council. Can it be that simple?
Yep.
You don't need any whereas or anything like that?
Can you please send that to me by email?
Yes. Lonnie, we'll do that within the next, hopefully, 30 minutes, an hour at the most. Is that okay?
Yeah, it should be sent to the whole list
so
all of us can send it to our constituencies,
sure.
Even if we're not on council mailing list.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Lonnie, so we'll get that to you within the next 60 minutes most, if that's okay.
Okay.
And then if you could submit that formally to the council, that would be great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Lonnie. Okay. All right, so we have one other item on the agenda that was also proposed by the Registry Stakeholder Group, and that is the question of, which we briefly discussed last week as well on Legends Call, and that is the question of requesting or formulating a request from the working group to ICANN with regards to engaging or initiating a legal review. And as discussed last week, one of the initial thresholds in doing such a performing such a request, well, two, one is ICANN needs a formal request. The other is to, you know, that consideration should be given in formulating the question on which the request would be based in terms of the scope of the legal review. So there has been a proposal submitted by the Registry Stakeholder Group, which was circulated by David, I believe, yesterday. So I think, I don't know, Barry, if we can get that up. And while we're getting up, Alan, your hand is raised.
Yeah, I think the question that was raised that you're putting up now is an important one, and we need to ask that. But I don't think that's the legal review we were talking about earlier. This is a legal review from internal counsel, first of all, on obligations of registries, whereas the legal review we were talking about ahead of time, before, I think, was the overall legal basis, you know, according to international accords and whatever, of protecting IGO names. I don't remember the exact words, but my recollection is that was a substantively different legal review than the one that the registries have proposed, which I think is needed in its own right, but I don't think is the same one we were talking about before.
Okay, Chuck.
Yeah, this is Chuck again. David's unable to talk, so I'll talk to it. We had a lot of talk about that, Alan, and we were talking about there were some of in the registries that thought we should request an independent legal analysis, and the point was made, well, who's going to be that? You can go to different legal people and get different opinions and so forth. We weren't convinced at the end of the day that was as realistic, but the basis, and I hope I'm communicating this correctly, was that if, as the GAC and the Red Cross and the IOC and the other IGOs as well, if they are correct that the law is already in place, international statutes and national law, to prevent the registration by registries and registrars of any of these names, then ICANN staff would just need to enforce the law because all of us are required to follow the laws, applicable laws. And so it's a very appropriate question to ask the general counsel's office, and it was worded, there was quite a bit of thought put into the wording. Now, are you able to post that wording? I don't have it in front of me of the question.
It'll be up shortly.
Okay, it'll be up shortly. Okay, good. This doing this first is a fairly easy thing to do, and the sooner we get a response from the general counsel's office, the better, because it impacts our work. If in fact the general counsel's office comes back and says yes, the law is sufficient to that we should prevent the registration of these terms or some subset of the terms or whatever, then it becomes a contractual enforcement mechanism. We could still develop a policy to support that. That could still be okay, but it's a very fundamental question, and it could be that the general counsel's office say, well, we need to get more legal research on that. Well, that's fine, and the working group could still decide to request some independent legal research, but like Margie said last time, we need to make sure that we're clear on what we're asking for. Does that help? Any questions on that?
It's Jim Bykoff.
Yeah, it's Alan. I had my hand up, but someone turned it to a microphone. I don't know who.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, just to comment on what Chuck and David have said, I agree completely. This is an important question which we hadn't asked before, and I think it must be asked, and it must be asked first. And I also tend to agree that the question that we were talking about before is a huge one, and I'm not sure we're going to get a lot out of it other than having one more opinion which will say something and be contradicted by someone else. I wasn't advocating that we do that. I was just pointing out that this legal question is not the one that other people had been talking about in prior weeks, not that I was supporting the other one. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is Chuck again, Alan, and that's kind of what we came to that realization, I think, and so we went a little bit different direction intentionally.
I understand, but the introduction to it implied this was the question we were talking about last week, and it was a very different legal question. Thank you.
So this is Chuck again. The registry's suggestion would be that the working group, as soon as possible, and because there's a lot of people missing from this call, we probably ought to put this out on the list for a week or so, or maybe up until, if we're going to have a call next week, up until then, and make sure there's no objections to these being put forward. I think they're pretty straightforward questions. They're worded fairly carefully because intentionally so that we can get that process going. That would be the registry's suggestion in with regard to that.
Okay.
It's Jim Bykoff. Can I say something?
Yes, Jim, please go ahead.
I just want to say I think the question is important. I agree with Alan and Chuck, and I think we should maybe have it on the list for all the people that are not on the call. Also, the counsel's opinion may, again, since he's covered some of this ground for the IOCRC names, there may be a difference in he may have already established some of this on behalf of the two organizations, but not on behalf of the others. So there may be, maybe the question should be divided in A and B or something like that.
I don't think we would have any problem with that at all, breaking it up. And maybe they could give us answers on the IOC Red Cross sooner than the others, and I think that would be okay too. But the sooner we can get all the answers, the better, because the answers will impact our work.
I agree.
Yeah.
Since we're using the term INGO, which was coined specifically for the Red Cross IOC, I'm not sure we need to belabor the point.
Well, my suggestion right now is let's get this on the list. Ask for people that weren't able to participate, as well as those who have been participating today, to comment on it, and then hopefully not later than our next meeting, which I'm guessing will be next week, being in a position to submit it to the General Counsel's office. And in that time, then, we can break it up. Jim, for example, you can maybe suggest a rewording that maintains the specificity of it while still breaking it up, as you were suggesting. So,
sure, I'd be glad to.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go ahead and circulate this to the list and ask for comments and as a point for further discussion at the next federal meeting. All right. Any other comments or responses to this particular matter?
Brian, it's Margie, if I may.
Sure. Please go ahead, Margie.
Sure. I just wanted to provide a little bit of background as we've investigated this issue internally. Obviously, we're waiting for a formal request from the working group on the legal question. And we were very much in line with the approach that Chuck just mentioned, keeping the issue narrower rather than broader for the time being, because a couple things, the timing, right? If you want to get an answer quickly, that's something that, if the question is as narrow as possible and something along the lines of, for example, what the registry stakeholder group came up with, it'll be a lot easier to get a response that's quicker, and also the other point that Chuck raised, that if in-house counsel for ICANN doesn't feel comfortable with the answer, they might just go to their outside counsel, have them provide some information and feed it to the working group. So that's very much gives them the flexibility to do that. To do a more general survey of international treaties and such for both IGO and a Red Cross and IOC, that's a fairly substantial project that would take, much more time and cost. For those of you who work with outside counsel, you're talking, when you're asking for a broad-based survey like that, it could be thousands and thousands of dollars. And so it's one of those things that if the working group really feels that that's required to do your policy work for this issue, we just want to make sure that we're all aware of what that cost would be and the complexity associated with it. So just from the staff perspective, going along the lines of what Chuck and the registry stakeholder group for now, seems to be the right approach. If in doing the policy work you feel that you still need more information, like a full survey, of all these treaties and such, that's probably going to take a lot more time and effort, and maybe can be explored as you start delving into the issues.
Thank you, Margie. Any questions or comments? Okay, we're coming up to the end of the scheduled time for this call. I think our last order of business is to confirm our next meeting. Next steps, of course, are we will provide to Lonry as a counselor the draft charter and a motion that he can then submit to the council. We'll do that within the next hour to meet the deadline. We will be circulating the question. Karen, I see your hand. Hold on for a second, please. We will circulate this language that's currently posted to the list for comments and input for discussion at the next meeting. So those are our action items. And the last order of business would be to confirm if indeed we can maintain this currently scheduled slot of time, 1900 UTC on Wednesdays. And the next meeting would be next Wednesday. Any objections to that? Okay, Karen, thanks for your patience.
Hi, Brian. I just had a clarification, seeking clarification. What happened on the subgroups issue? Was the registry language accepted and the subgroups then abolished from the charter? I must have missed something.
Subjects aren't abolished. I mean, no, the registry language was accepted, and with the understanding that the working group, if indeed the charter is adopted by and approved by the council, and once the working group begins its work, the working group certainly has to establish separate working groups if indeed it feels that would be most efficient in obtaining the, you know, the objectives and goals of the charter.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, any other questions or comments, points to be made? Okay, thank you everyone very much for your participation and your time. We actually got our objective completed, and that is to get a draft working group charter for the Council's deliberation next week. So really appreciate your time and efforts and contributions today. Chuck, thank you for your assistance in managing this meeting, and thank you to everyone.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.